to righteousness, that I may become perfect and thoroughly furnished on all good works. You just quoted 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Give your neighbor a high five and tell them they look better than they did the last time you saw them. It is good to be back home at Calvary Cathedral and to see many of our old friends and many of the new people that are here. I'm just so thankful that you're here. Amen. I believe that we are here on a divine appointment from God. And I think that it's already started. I think it started last Monday night. I knew it was going to be good when my wife got my filing cabinet and started to get through my notes. She always takes my material and does a lot better with them. So it's good to be here. It's an honor to serve Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols. We still serve them. They're still our pastors. You know, if I had my choice of who I would rather listen to, I'd rather sit under Pastor Bob Nichols ministry any day of the year than anybody else out there. Amen. So let's give God for almost 51 years of pastor and founder of this great ministry. So it's an honor to be here. Thank you, Dan, for that wonderful introduction. I hope I can live up to it. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to Luke chapter 2. And then from Luke chapter 2, we'll look at Philippians chapter 3. The Lord put it on my heart this year to do, for the whole year, to be a teaching on the goodness of God. Now, I want to preface this something right now. I've never renounced that Christians should never repent to God, because you should. You should confess your sins. You know, not to confess your sins to God as a Christian is almost like not saying you're sorry to your mate when you've done something wrong. That doesn't go very far. I mean, really, think about it. You need to, you know, if you've done something wrong, it's not that God's all bent out of shape because you missed it. But what you're doing when you go to God, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, God's faithful and just to forgive you. But see, now God takes it a step further with those who are in covenant with him. He cleanses you. And see, the importance of being cleansed is because you need to know that God still loves you so much that he wants to bless you. Now, how many of you say that I'm blessed? Lift up one hand. Now, as you lift up the other hand, that means you're going to get doubly blessed because that's what God wants to do for you. Even though God has blessed you, he still wants to do more for you. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, this sounds like a Christmas story here in Luke chapter 2. But really, it's the story and the purpose of God. And that is, then the angel said to him, the shepherds, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. That means that Jesus came, number one, so that you don't have to fear the wrath of God anymore. God's not going to squash you out like a bug just because you missed it once in a while. In fact, he knew you were going to miss it and already made a plan to set you up to be an overcomer in this life. That's God's plan for you. So he brought good news. You don't have to be afraid. It's good news. If it's not good news, it's probably not Bible news. And great joy. God's people ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. You ought to be happy just because you got the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. And then he went on to say here in verse 14 along the same lines, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards all men. That was the whole purpose of God for your life. And the best lay term for peace is nothing missing and nothing broken. That means being completely whole, wanting nothing. Have you found Philippians chapter 3? Starting here in verse 12, Paul, who I consider one of the greatest saints that ever walked on the face of the earth, probably one of the most holiest men that ever walked on the face of the earth. How many of you would concur with me on that? He said something here very interesting. Not that I have already attained. Come on, Paul. Look, dude, are you having a victim mentality or a bad day here or something? I mean, you know, you're the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And by the way, this is why it's so important we lift up our Jewish friends, because almost the whole Bible, including the New Testament, was written by Jews. Most people don't realize that the New Testament was written by Messianic Jews. Amen. Thank God for a good election in Israel this week. Hallelujah. He went on to say, or am I already perfected, but one thing I do, I press on. See now, you know, if the devil can't keep God from blessing you, what he can do is he can try to convince you from not pressing on. We're going to talk about an Old Testament saint who, in here in just a moment, who just got to the point where he didn't press on anymore. But aren't you glad that God is the God of second chances? Well, I got news for you. He's the God of third chances. And he's the God of fourth chances. In fact, the truth is he'll give you as many chances as you need to get it right. Well, don't patty cake. Give God praise in this house. Somebody shout to the Lord. But this is what Paul said. This is what I'm determined to do. I'm determined that I may lay hold of or apprehend that which Christ has apprehended for me. Now, I had to ask myself this question. Have I apprehended? Have I obtained everything that Jesus obtained for me? Am I walking in it yet? I'm not. I'll be honest with you. But I'm pressing on. And the biggest tool the enemy tries to use against Christians is he tries to keep them in the trap of the past. The past mistakes. Not being good enough. Not feeling like they're right with God. But Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, which is the kingdom of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know why he taught us to pray that? So just us pastors can be blessed. No, because he wants you to experience heaven on earth. And the reason why he said thy kingdom, because the kingdom of God's not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, knowing that you are in right standing with God. You cannot be any more in right standing with God than you are right now. Amen. So I love the faith message, but I've changed it to the take it message. Huh? Just take it. Huh? Just take it. You just say, well, I'm just not sure I'm good enough. Well, I just want to let you know you're not. But just take it anyway. How many of you know that Pastors Bob and Joy and Pastor Vicky and I, we share a legacy here in this house? Their great-grandchildren are our grandchildren. So don't you mess. Just kidding. And, you know, there are times that, you know, I just love to bless Jason. I just love to bless the grandkids. And, you know, do you think they deserve it? Absolutely not. In fact, the truth is they ought to bless Big Pop once in a while. They don't deserve it. But I love them anyway. And this is the way we have to be with God. God loves you anyway, despite of yourself. So go ahead and just say, I'll take it. Take all the blessings that God has for you. Psalm 68:19 says, he loads you daily with his benefits. For all you Bible school scholars, you want to know what that means? Everybody else, go get on your iPad and don't pay attention to me. This is for the scholars. And that is, it means that God downloads in you, like a computer gets downloaded every day, all of his attributes. On a daily basis, God is downloading his attributes in you. So you can rise up every morning and say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So Paul said, you know, not that I've already obtained, nor have I counted myself to apprehend, but one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind me. See, there has to be an anointing to forget. I said there has to be some type of anointing to forget. Because this is the thing that's hindering you from getting, is because you won't forget what happened yesterday. I want to tell you, I'm a very sensitive guy. I am really, really sensitive. One day, I went to a conference and they asked me all these questions about the ministry. How big is your ministry? What is your budget? And I put NB, none of your business. And so I went to sit down to hear the minister preach, and I got under conviction. Because I'm sensitive. You ask why I'm sensitive, you know? You know, the Lord said, well, you didn't have to put NB, you know. You could have just left it blank. You know, I didn't have to be. I knew in my own heart I was ugly, okay? And so God dealt with my heart about it, you know? But you know what? I still had to forget that. The only reason I remember it was for your sake, not mine. I had to forget that so I could still receive what God had for me at the meeting. Just because I missed it, you know, see, we just said that, you know, we gave God permission to perfect us. That means that he has to tweak us. But we can't live in the past of our mistakes. We got to live in the future of the blessing that God has for us. And so Paul said, one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me, and I press towards those things which are ahead of me. Isaiah 43:18 says, forget the former things, nor consider the things of old, for I shall do a new thing. Shall you not know it? Shall not spring forth? I will even make rivers in the deserts, and I will make the crooked way straight. Glory to God. Well, there was a man in the Old Testament named David. He was in the crooked ways. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. And he got caught up in the crooked ways. But I'm here to tell you, God's faithful. Amen. God is faithful. Have you found 2 Samuel 5 yet? What page is it on? All right, I found it here. But see here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, starting with verse 12, this is so powerful. So David knew, say knew, David knew. Nobody was going to talk him out of this thing. David knew that the Lord had established him king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people. David knew this. Now you go back a few chapters there in 1 Samuel chapter 27. And what's so important about this message is that David had to forget his mistakes. Isaiah 43:18, what? Forget the former things, nor consider the things of old. For behold, I do a new thing, shall you not know it? I'll create rivers in the deserts. I'll make the crooked way straight. Well, if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, and read that, David one day got discouraged. He got a little disappointed, maybe even depressed. And he said, someday, in his heart, he said, someday I'm going to perish at the hand of Saul. That's what he said. Oh, come on, David. He needed a prayer buddy. He needed a Dan Craft around his life. Come on, David. Remember the words that were spoken over you? Remember those prophetic words that you got in Bible school? Remember those prophetic words that you got at some of those powerful meetings we had at Calvary Cathedral? Don't you remember, David? You're called to be king. Don't give up, David. But David didn't have anybody at that time to encourage him. He said, someday I'm going to die at the hand of Saul. He was discouraged. Well, now the Danks Bible says that Saul attempted to kill him 27 times. Well, I don't know about you, but when someone tries to kill me once, it kind of discourages me a little bit. In fact, the truth is, I don't even like people to say bad things about me. I can tell I'm preaching to the right group because you're laughing. You don't like it either. Causes the flesh to rise up a little bit. Causes you to want to give them a piece of your mind. But don't ever give somebody a piece of your mind. They won't appreciate it as much as you do. He said, I'm just going to die. He said, the best thing for me to do is just go defect and become an ally with the Philistines. So he did. He and his mighty men, they went with him. They went over the Philistines, and they accepted him. And David went raiding in this part of Israel, the southern border, and these other borders, and he wiped everything out. But they were always the enemies of Israel. And he came back and said, yep, I invaded this part of Israel, which was true, but it was a half-true. How many of you know a half-true is equal to a full lie? Amen. And so one day, you know, they were going to the Philistines, decided to attack Israel, and here David and his men were, and the princes of Philistine were checking out all their armies, and they began to compare notes, and they said, hey, isn't that David and his mighty men? Yep. What's he doing here? Don't you know his reputation? Saul killed his thousands, and David killed his 10,000s. And that was talking about the Philistines. What is he doing here? Oh, no. The prince of the Philistine that was over David. Oh, no, he's with us. He's really with us. Trust me. I mean, he's gone here. He's gone there. They said, well, we don't trust him. He said, well, what do you think I need to do? And they said, send him home. So he went back to Ziklag. You know what Ziklag means? The crooked way. He'll make the crooked way straight. Isn't that what the scripture says? You know, there. You know, Ziklag was a hard place to find. I mean, if you went to your travel agent and said, you know, could you book me a ticket to Ziklag? They say, Zig where? That's like asking someone to send you to Timbuktu. Where's Timbuktu? Just on the other side of Timbuktu. There was a no place. There was a no, I mean, it was just a nothing of a place. And so they convinced this prince to get rid of David, and he and his men, they marched home, you know, and they were so excited to come home and see their kids and anticipating the kids running out of the houses with their tambourines and say, Daddy's home, and the hugs and the kisses and, you know, the chocolate pie and the barbecue and all the good stuff that happens when you get home. But as they began to come over that last hill to the city of Ziklag, they saw a very discouraging plume of smoke coming from that area. And that just lump in their chest began to rise up inside their throat as they got closer and closer, and there was a deafening silence of entering that city. Someone had come and kidnapped their wives and their children and took all their goods. And after they cried and they wept, they got mad. And they began to reason with themselves, and they began to think, well, why are we following this David anyway? It's all his fault. And so they started to develop a coup, get their stones out. And David said, you know, I need to do something pretty quick. Probably something what he should have done before he ever went to the Philistines. You know what? I need to go back to God. You know, so David got the ephod. He went back to God, and he began to converse with God. And God said, "You ugly thing, David, I just can't believe you did this." No, God said, "You know what, David? It's okay. We're going to get through this." Because, see, David, in your setbacks, I already have a setup for your comeback. So David, first of all, he had to encourage himself in the Lord. In other words, he had to forget the past. He had to accept God's unconditional love and forgiveness. He had to put behind him his mistakes. After he got through that, then he said, "Lord, what about the enemy who stole my wives and my men's wives and their children? I'm responsible for these 600 men, and what am I supposed to do? Should I pursue and overtake?" And the Lord said, "David, you shall." I feel the anointing coming on you right now. "You shall pursue. You shall overtake." But God added something to it. "You shall recover all." And God's definition of recovering all is to have more than what you lost in the first place. Because God said, "You know what? You don't have to vindicate yourself. You don't have to look for vengeance." God said, "Vengeance is mine. And don't you worry about what the devil stole from you. I will repay it all back to you." Somebody give the Lord a shout in this place. Hallelujah. God's in the business of repaying back that which the enemy's stolen from you. But you know what? You have to forget the past. Isaiah 54:4 says, "I will cause you." Say, "cause." You know, as you press into God, you keep seeking God, God will cause you to forget the shame of your youth. No shame here. Well, don't you remember? Don't you remember? No. I took a forgetful pill. Amen. I don't remember. Who are you to bring up my past? You think you're better than God that you can talk about my past that way? Well, I remember when Brother Luther used to just sweep the floors around here. And I did it with joy. Did it with gladness. One time I was sweeping floors and some ladies were praying for this woman and said, asked me to quit sweeping floors and pray for her and said, "Would you cast the devil out of her?" And I said, "Sure, come out in Jesus' name." Lady got free and been free ever since. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you remember? No, I don't remember the wrong things I did. Why? Because God says, "I don't remember your sins as far as the east is from the west." And as this fine young preacher said, I'm made in the image of God. So if he doesn't remember it, why should I remember it? Hello, somebody. You have to forget. You can't let that shame hang on you. One day I was teasing with my wife and she said something kind of naughty to me, and I said, "Shame on you." And God convicted me and said, "Don't you put shame on my daughter." I mean, right then I said, "Sweetheart, I will never say shame on you again." It's not funny. Because, see, that's what's hindering a lot of people in the body of Christ from receiving God's best for their life. They're shamed. You know, why would God want me to drive, you know, this new Ferrari? Why would God want me to have a new Cessna after all the things that I did? Well, it ain't about what I did. Can I tell you one other story? Well, you know, we have two little German schnauzers at the house, Mr. Baxter and Petey. Now, I want to preface this by saying our dogs do not speak in human language. Okay? Just want to preface it that. All right? No, I haven't been in Missouri too long. But, you know, I was giving them a treat, you know, and they get so happy when that I go to the pantry to get that treat out. They're just anticipating, you know, I give them a treat. And they looked at me like with this, as if they could speak, what did we do that we're so good that we deserve that treat? Dogs are that way. You know, they're based on award and, you know, behavior modification. You know, they do something good, they get a treat. What did we do this time? They hadn't done anything wrong. And I realized, you know what? That's the way God thinks about us. It's not what we did that we deserve it. It's not how good we are. It's how good He is.
Yes. Amen.
He said, don't fear. Don't let the shame of your past, the mistakes of your past, cause you to get in fear that God won't bless you, because God wants you blessed. In fact, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or even think. John 10:10 says, it's the devil who comes, the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life. That is Zoe in the Greek. That means God's kind of life. I've come to give you God's kind of life, and I've come to give it to you abundantly. And that's Persaios in the Greek, and that means beyond measure. That means that if you counted all the money that you had, by the time you started counting it, it would have multiplied before you finished. Let me say that again. Beyond measure means if you start counting all the money you had, it would multiply before you finished it. It'd be like saying, well, you know, I'm worth $1 million. My wife tapped, no, 1.5 million. Oh, I'm worth no, it's 2 million. Yeah. See, that's what God wants to do for you exceedingly abundantly.
Hallelujah.
Above. Yeah. All that you can ask. How many souls have been saved? 80,499, and the least God wants to do for you this year is the double.
Amen.
Mr. Soul Winner, the least He wants to do for you is the double.
Amen.
Twice as many. Amen. See, God's doing some new things. He's been doing some new things in this house. He's doing some new things in your own life. About 4 weeks ago, I woke up about 4:30 one Sunday morning, went into my den, got a cup of coffee, sat down, and the presence of God just ushered right into the den there where I was sitting. And the Lord asked me this question. Do you believe that my son lived a perfect and sinless life? Yes. I knew the presence of God was there. Yes. I believe that. He said, well, do you think everybody else believes that? I thought, well, and it was like, you know, I didn't have my Bible with me, but it's like my Bible was placed on my lap and opened to John 2, where Jesus went into the synagogue and ran the money changers out. And I saw it word for word in the scripture right there in a vision. And it said that some of them were businessmen. Now, can you imagine going home to your wife and saying, honey, the Son of God, the Messiah, just put me out of business. Now, would you think that he lived a perfect and sinless life? Could you imagine if Facebook was around back then? Don't get me going there. Hallelujah. And you know, Jesus never regretted running those people out. He never went to His disciples and said, you know, I wonder if I could have handled that a little better. But as John unfolds, there were some great miracles that happened in Capernaum in the synagogue there. And that just happened to be where Jesus cleansed the temple first. Why? Because you know what? He had to get rid of the old in order for Him to do the new. Now, I read a scripture somewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, right around verse 30, where it says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And God has done something in you. You think it's for loss, but God says it's for gain. There was a little bit of a sting that came with it, but God said it's for your own good. Because God's saying to this house, I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not know it? Shall you not be a part of it? And the first thing that God's going to do in this house tonight is he's going to break the power of shame. Now, my wife has something tonight, too. But one of the first things we're going to do so you can receive from God from this night and forevermore, all that God has for you, is we're going to receive the power of shame broken off of us. And there's many here tonight, those who are watching by internet, you need to reach out and receive this. There's many here tonight, that's why you can't receive from God, because of shame of the past. And I will let you know, as a man of God and according to the authority of the Word of God, and it's been sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, every sin that's been confessed has been forgiven. Every person who has sinned and confessed their sins, not only have they been forgiven, but you've been cleansed. And you have been cleansed so you can receive all the goodness of God. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you'd say, that is me, you hit the nail on the head, I am struggling from receiving from God because I feel like I'm not always good enough, I want you to get up out of your seats and I want you to come down this front right now as fast as you can. If you say, that's you, that's me, I struggle with receiving from God because of shame, because of the pain of the past, it haunts me, I want you to get out of your seats right now and come down this front. Hallelujah. God's doing a new thing in you. He is breaking the power of shame off of his body. He is breaking the power of shame off of each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does your word go along with this, or do you have something after I'm done? Okay. I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm just going to speak over you. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That thing's just fallen off of you just like that. I come against that foul spirit of shame in the name of Jesus. I cut that thing off of you right now in Jesus' name. I come against the pain of the past mistakes. I cut that thing off of you. And I also cut off of you those who feel responsible for the mistakes of others. I cut that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to lift your hands up and say, thank God I'm free. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Thank God I'm free. Oh, I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free. Thank you, Lord.
To take that right then for what I'm going to share with you. So I want you to just go ahead and have a seat because we're going to do something in a minute. This afternoon I laid my head down on my pillow to take a nap and the word of the Lord came to me for this church. And before Pastor left town, he had called me up on the phone and he said, I want you to go with whatever you have in your heart. And minister with your husband. And the word that came to me was, you're digging another well. And I thought, wells of revival. Wells that have been digging and digging and digging or digging in this house. And I asked Susan, I leaned over to Susan and I said, when was that? And I called it the hippie revival because I wasn't here. She said, that was about 1971. And I said, dug a well. I remember the 93 revival. That was a deep well. I remember the 94 revival. That was another well that was dug. And there's been some revivals since then of digging wells. But when the word of the Lord came to me today, and he said, digging another well. You are digging a well of revival that will never fade away. The wave of revival in this well, it's like when Isaac dug the wells and the Philistines kept coming in and they'd put out the wells or they'd steal the wells or things would come in to destroy the wells and all this junk kept coming in and Isaac just kept digging. And I'm just thinking about Pastor and Joy. They have just kept digging. The heart for revival, the heart for revival, the heart for revival, the heart for revival. He's dug a well, he's dug a well, he's dug a well, he's dug a well. And many have dug the well with him. Well, right now you're digging a well. It's a well that will be well watered, and it will bring forth much fruit and much harvest. It will bring forth the glory in waves and waves and waves, just like that well that Isaac dug, that last well, when Abimelech went back to him, or the Philistines went back to him, and they said, we're just coming back to you. We're coming back in fear and reverence of you, Isaac. We're coming back to you. We're coming back into that place to you. Don't hurt us. Just bless us. Just bless us. We didn't hurt you. Well, this well was going to scatter, and it's going to go through. See, these souls, these 80,000 souls that have come in, these seeds that have been planted out there in this community, the digging that you have been doing by going out into this city and making a difference in this city, that is you digging wells. You're digging. You're getting. And sometimes it seems empty. Sometimes like you seem like you're just getting a little more dirt. All you're doing is digging up a little bit more dirt, and you don't seem like anything's working. Well, you're about to hit water. You're about to hit some water. And that water's going to be good water, and it's not going to be a little bit of water. It's not going to be just a trickle, but it's going to be the water of the well, of the living well, of the glory of God. And it's going to manifest in this earth, and it's going to manifest in this house, and it will be a river that will feed this land. Glory to God. It's an awesome thing that the Lord is doing, but I just want to encourage you, and we're going to pray for you tonight. Because God said, I want you to pray a refreshing on the diggers. So there's a lot of diggers in here tonight. A lot of people that have been digging and digging and digging and giving and giving and giving. You know, when that well came up and it was full of water. I'm telling you, Isaac was already blessed. His house is blessed. Huh. But not. But not in the ways that are about to come to this house. For the wells that have been dug, the wells of the past, the wells of the 71 revival, the 93, 94, and how many other out there that are out there that has been dug of revival are all going to come up in fruition, and it's going to be for the glory of God, and it's going to come, and it's going to be a distribution to this land. I'm telling you, it's bigger than what you think it is. It's bigger than possibly what you can even dream right now. I love that scripture, exceedingly abundantly more than Pastor and Joy can even ask or think, that will affect this congregation. And I'm telling you, I'm taking it for Family Worship Center. You know, we're part of that seed. We're part of this house. So we get the overflow of it, and we'll take it. We'll take all of it. But God is calling y'all, you diggers, and he's saying you are diggers, and you're about to hit water. Glory to God, you're about to hit the water, and this one will not run dry. And I'll just say this, woe to anyone that tries to put their hand on it. Now, that's a strong woe. Ooh. I think I'll say that again. Woe to anyone that would put their hand on it. For I have called this house, and my hand has been upon the man and the woman of God. And my hand has never let up or lifted up off of them. I have placed them in this city. I put them here. Even when they tried to go another direction, I sent a man to them to speak to them and hold them. For I had a plan from the foundation of the world for revival in this land. And I had a plan on the man and the woman of God to use them in great ways. Oh, and many have stood, and many have talked, and many have criticized the heart of the man for revival. But my hand is upon them, and I'm telling you this night, woe to the man or the woman that would try to stop this. For nothing will stop my hand upon this man. For the man's heart I gave him for revival. I put it in him, and I'll see it come to pass. This is a holy thing to the Lord. It's not light. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken lightly. What the man has stood for, what the woman has stood for. It's not a light thing, what I'm about to do. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. So we're going to pray tonight for diggers. We're going to pray for those that you can dig all the way to the water, all the way to get all that rest of that dirt, rest of that soil up out, so the well of living water can come all the way to the top. For this is the time, and this is the hour of the glory of God. And this is the time, and this is the hour of the harvest to come in a great way. And the anointing that is on us right now to pray for you, that the Lord told me this afternoon, he wanted prayed over you diggers. It's just like it's going to be a supernatural thing that comes upon you to get that dirt out. I don't know how else to say it. It's the only description I have right now, is to get it all the way out and to help the man and the woman of God to get all the way down to that fresh water to carry out the plan of God and what God has ordained. For he has called for revival in the land. And I can tell you right now, he's got children, us, for one, that have that heart for revival. And we got it from our daddy.
That's right.
We've got his DNA. I'm telling you, something's going to happen in here tonight.
Amen.
The glory of God came in Monday night in an amazing way. But I believe God's going to do something in hearts tonight. That just causes you to put the shovel in to the dirt in that well a little deeper and just throw it out and say, we're going for the water. Amen.
We're going to pray for each and every person who'd like to be a part of this prayer. But before we do, maybe you came into the service tonight and you've never heard the plan of salvation and how simple it is. Jesus said something about the plan of salvation. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul gave us a great description about salvation. He said, you know, first of all, you need to take the responsibility that we've all sinned. We've all missed it. That's what sin does. It separates us from God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, there it is. That's the word, taking it. The gift of God is eternal life. That's why it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can get in on this. You can be what the Bible calls an 11th hour worker. If you've never received Jesus, you can get in on this great revival that's going to change this world. It wasn't named Calvary Cathedral International in the 1995 revival for vain. It was named Calvary Cathedral International because it's going to be a church that reaches the world with the glory of God. So if you're here tonight and you say, you know what, Pastor Tom, I've never confessed Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, but I'd like to do that right now. If that's you, would you raise your hand nice and high? Anybody here like that? I think. Make Jesus Lord of your life. One of the things I like to do is that even Andrew brought Peter to the Lord. So I'd like you to ask your neighbor right now, have you accepted Jesus? They can't give you a nice grin of assurance. Yes, I have. And just encourage them to come down and let us pray for them. Anybody here like that? One more time. Everybody here is saved? All right. Well, if you feel like you're a part of this house and that you're helping dig the well that's going to touch this nation, the well of revival, then let's slip out of your seats and come forward. We're going to split up. We're not going to pray as a team. Vicky's going to go one way. I'm going to go the other way.
You know what I really want to do in my heart is pray for the leadership of the house first.
Okay.
And then, because there's a lot of people here, and I think everyone that's any a part of this house needs to take this. And then after we pray for them, let them just take it. So I know y'all are, and David, and y'all are.
Phil. Leadership. Okay. That starts from staff all the way down to people who serve as deacons and ushers. Leadership, yes. Staff. Okay.
Staff.
All right.
Staff of this house.
All right.
The staff of this house is.
Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit. Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit. Here I am, I'm open. Move, oh, move, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. Move, oh, move, Holy Spirit. Here I am, I'm open. Move, oh, move, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way.
We say yes, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way.
We say yes.
We say yes, Holy Spirit. Here I am, I'm open.
We say yes.
We say yes, Holy Spirit.
Come and have your way.
Come
and have your way.
We say yes, Holy Spirit. Here I am, I'm open.
Speak, oh, speak, speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit. Here I am, I'm move, oh, move, move, oh, move, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way.
Move, oh, move, Holy Spirit.
We say yes.
We say yes, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. We say yes, Holy Spirit. Here I am, I'm over.
We say yes. Speak, oh speak,
speak, oh speak, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Speak, oh speak, Holy Spirit, here I am.
Thank you. say yes, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. We say yes, Holy Spirit. Here I am. I'll have another dream. I'll have another dream. I'll have another dream of the living water of life. I'll have another dream. I'll have another dream. I'll have another dream of the living water of life. I'll have another dream. I'll have another dream. I'll have another dream of the living water of life. Oh yes, I'm thirsting, Lord. Oh yes, I'm thirsting, Lord. Oh yes, I'm thirsting, Lord, for the living water of life. Fill me up, Lord. Don't have to feel it. Make me drunk, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. I'm tired of whispering. I'll start to shout it. Don't want a cup, Lord. Give me a fountain. 'Cause I'm thirsty, Lord. Oh, yes, I'm thirsty, Lord. Oh, yes, I'm thirsty, Lord, for the living water of life. Fill me up, Lord. Don't have to feel it. Make me drunk, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. I'm tired of whispering. I'll start to shout it. Don't want a cup, Lord. give me a fountain, 'cause I'm thirsty, Lord. Oh, yes, I'm thirsty, Lord. Oh, yes, I'm thirsty, Lord, for the living water of life. Drink, drink a lot, 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 drink, drink a lot. Drink, drink a lot, drink, drink a lot, oh, drink, drink a lot, oh, drink, drink a lot, drink, drink a lot, drink, drink a lot, oh, drink, drink a lot, drink, drink a lot. I'll have another drink. I'll have another drink. I'll have another drink of the living water of life.
I just want to take a second here to say something. As they're singing this song, go ahead and keep playing, Johnny. But we were on a trip to see my mother in Albuquerque, and we were gone for quite a while, about a week. And we came back, and we had this plant in our living room that we've had for some time. Lush, beautiful, thick, tall plant. When we got home, that thing was just flat. Looked dead. And Ashley said, oh no, our plant, we forgot to water it. I said, well, throw some water on it. It might come back to life. It might help. So she went over to that plant and dumped a cup of water in it. Well, today, this morning, my son comes running in, the plant, the plant. We looked in there, and this plant was, I mean, as good as new. Just as thick and as tall and just everything all over again. And my son said, Dad, I got a revelation. He's 6 years old. And he told me to preach this tonight, Pastor Tom. But I said, I'm not preaching tonight, so I don't know if this will really go with this, with what's being preached. But he said, I got a revelation. God is like the water to us, and we are like the plant. And I said, hey, that's a good revelation. So now I'm going to tell him I did preach that after all. Because he's going to ask, I know. He asked me before I came. He asked me two times. And I thought, that's so funny that he would say that. Why would he keep saying it? Now be sure and preach this, Dad. Son, I'm not preaching tonight. But I believe that's a word from God. The hallelujah. He said, water is, so have another drink. Amen.
I'll have another drink. I'll have another drink. I'll have another drink of the living
God. You just want to stay around and bathe in the presence of God, you're more than welcome to. Father, thank you for sending the very best to Calvary Cathedral here tonight. Thank you, God, for honoring us with the very best pastors in the whole world. And Lord, we just thank you, God, as this well is being dug, that it'll be said from all around the world, the presence of the Lord's in that place, and minister to many nations, many tribes, many races, and many different generations. From this day forth, we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love each and every one of you. Have a wonderful evening.